This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Noia to our Ratuman listeners and hello to everyone. Welcome to Nesian Footy, the best place to keep up to date with all our Pacifica athletes who are smashing it in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and my usual Cook Island Coe Tinodau Arona is still away for another Monday. So alongside me is our resident professor who represented Samoa and the USA, played rugby league in Australia, UK, France, everywhere around the world, Sefa Bolo. And Sef, mate, the prof, what happened last week with your question was wrong.
Fucking off hard too.
Just straight to hello, yeah.
Yeah, about that. Just testing you and T's knowledge on the NRL ties, the family ties. I like the question, but you're right. I did miss the young fella, the youngest.
Hey, and did you mean like for like siblings or just family in general? Because even the Cook Island one, with Kale Idol.
Yeah, I know they had an uncle.
I had an uncle. So
but I just kept it in the family. In the family. That's why I said Nathan and Ivan.
Yeah.
Or Billy Walters and Kevy Walters.
Gotcha. I just
or Jaden and Preston Campbell. Do you want to go
No, no, no. I just wanted to make sure because it wasn't me. It was, again, our T.
Yep.
He goes, no, there's three for the Cook Islands with Kale Idol. I was like, well, hang on. Let's listen to the relax.
Keep it in the family, mate.
Keep it in the family. But anyway, let's get on to our show. We have a big one planned. Never short of any Nesian footy news, especially in the NRL. Plenty happening there. And we have Shelley Long with the long story short, giving us the rundown on the NRLW for round two. Some plenty of standouts there. And this week, our special guest, this is a big one, Seth.
Wow.
This is a big one. One of the true leaders of the game, Alan Alatoa.
What a get, eh? What a get.
Mate, outstanding. He's been around for the Brumbies. He's captained the Wallabies. Proud Samoan.
I'm excited for this conversation. Only from afar, I've watched him lead his team on and off the field, and he seems like he's got a lot to offer in a sense of his leadership and his culture. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely hang around for that chat. It will be a special one. But other than that, let's rip into the show.
Hi, my name is Faitala Moleka, and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
Yes, we're going to start the show off with our moment of the week.
Hi, Dad. Congrats on your 300, and hope you win for us, and so we could sing the team song together and play well, play hard. We all love you.
Hi, Dad. Congratulations on your 300 game, and we are also proud of you, and you've also worked so hard to get here, and I love you.
Hey, babe. Congratulations on your 300th game. I think this weekend marks game 344 for including rep. I just wanted to mention that because I think it's amazing that over the span of 14 years in this sport, you've chosen to play 300 of those games for the Raiders.
Go out there, have fun, enjoy the game, do what you always do. You already know the drill. Bring home the win, or don't come home at all.
Lush, Dad, we love you. Up the Raiders!
Man, how good was that, eh? That's why we just thought, let's start with the moment of the week. Let that play out. And for those who don't know, Josh Papali'i, proud Samoan, down with the Canberra Raiders, played his 300th game. Seth, talk to me. You've played with him, haven't you?
Yeah, I was lucky to play with Josh. I know he's one of your guests on this show, and he's played many games, obviously 300, but Queensland, Australia. But to get to put on the blue jersey for Tor Samoa with Josh, I still remember as we were preparing for the game, our first game against New Zealand, and he actually said he never felt so nervous. And I don't think it's because he didn't know how to play the game. It's just because of what he was representing and what it meant to him, man.
Yeah, outstanding work to Josh Papali'i, and that was his beautiful wife and kids in that audio, just wishing him well for the game. I know they didn't get the win against the Dogs.
Yeah.
We'll get into that chat for the rugby league news. But
and he joins an elite list.
How many in total? 52,
yeah.
I believe. And how many of them are Pacifica?
So we got Fiji, Petro Sevenisiva or Sevenisiva, Tonga, Brent Kite,
yep,
and our mate, Michael Jennings, and Samoan, Ruben Wiki.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
I don't know if you knew he was Samoan.
No, I didn't. I thought he was Māori.
Yeah,
okay.
He obviously represented New Zealand for most of his tests, but Samoan mother. And now Josh joins that elite crew, but playing for one club.
Yeah, I think he's the only one that's played for one club out of that crew. So
the Pacific players. So the Green Machine, mate, the Viking clap wasn't there on Sunday, but hopefully this week as they prepare for their next match.
I tell you what was there. The Belmore drums were there, mate. Absolutely. But yeah. let's go straight into rugby league news. Seth, what have you got for me?
Yeah, well, we'll stay on that game. The Bulldogs were victorious against the Raiders, and they were inspired by their captain, Stephen Crichton.
Canterbury play at Viliami, kick out now after being held up. They go from left to right this time, spinning it through hands. Tracy goes to Crichton, and Stephen Crichton takes a couple of Canberra players with him and scores in the corner.
Yeah, Stephen Crichton, what a return. So last week he was out for a neck injury, so he turned up this week. Even had a haircut this week, Sam. You'd be surprised. The island is still there. Yeah. And my barber...
Hey, you had a haircut, or Crichton had a haircut?
I had a haircut, and I'm just going to talk about my barber, and he goes... I actually think the Bulldogs are better without Crichton. So I'm like, oh, wow, is that true?
It's a big statement. Barber, if anyone knows, it's the barbers, the barbers, the taxi drivers.
They all know the rugby league.
Yes.
And then guess what happened? Stephen Crichton stepped up, 2 tries and 1 try assist. It was a brave performance by Raiders to hang in there and play for Josh, but they just obviously weren't good enough on the day. They showed a lot of fight and spirit. But this week I want to talk about... the Dragons slain the Storm. It'd been many years before the Dragons had taste victory down in Melbourne. And I've even been on the back of those trips, Sam. I don't know if you had away trips where you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a tough game.
Couldn't win in New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Or probably more Wellington and
Crusaders.
Crusaders and Auckland and the Chiefs.
Did we miss one?
Yeah, only had success against the Highlanders. But tough places to win. I know what you mean.
Like every time I got ready for the games to go down to Melbourne, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a tough one. I don't even think I won down there. Like that's how hard it is. And to see the Dragons go down there. And again, they were inspired by Sam Orne, who scored 2 tries on the weekend. Jaden Sewer.
3 metres out from the goal line. He plays it to Suli. Deep pass comes right to Flanagan. Then away to DeBellin. To Ben Hunt. Puts a little stab kick. Flying through is Jaden Sewer. And he grabs it and falls over the line to score.
Yeah, it was a brave victory by the Dragons. The Storm had the ball for the last 30 minutes and they still couldn't score. So to think how far they've come, the Dragons, in the space of 8 months from last year. It's been fine performance from them to watch and to get better every week.
You know, when you were playing for the Sharkies, Flanner was there. The Sharkies at the time had a really good record against the Melbourne Storm. It was like your big grudge game. How much of Flanner's preparation and helping the Dragons understand the magnitude of playing against the Storm fed into their preparation to be able to get a result like that?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam, because it wasn't until I went to the Cronulla Sharks that I actually felt like I could beat the Melbourne Storm, like the way he coached us. Where when I was at Penrith and Parramatta, it felt like we were trying to copy what Melbourne were doing. So the dynamics and the change-up from coaches that wanted to be like Melbourne to the coach who wants to beat Melbourne. So from their victory on the weekend, you could see how much they wanted it. Like Tyrell Sloan came from playing reserve grade to putting in a fine performance. And then you're seeing the boys step up in Moses Suli, who topped the meters in 177 meters. Then you're seeing the development of Christian Tupulotu. Like, he's been a rising star for them. Every week he's got better. And then obviously just seeing Francis Molo, and they've got a really good connection of Pacific players there. And I think Shane Flanagan's found the best out of all those boys. So it was awesome to see the Dragons slay the Storm, or as we would say at school, I'll win the Saints. But my other game I want to cover is the Titans and the Broncos. When you think about big brother versus little brother, Sam, you know what it's like. We both have big brothers.
Oh, we fed our older brothers.
Once out of 100 times. Well, this was the feeling on the weekend as the Titans beat big brother Brisbane Broncos 46-18. And one of the stars of the show was 20-year-old Sam Orne, Keno Kenny.
Pass now to Foran. Foran kicking high. Fafita down there to challenge Corey Oates. He knocks it back. It's into the hands of Kenny. Kenny dives and puts it over the line.
Keno Kenny ran for 200 metres. He had 2 try assists, 2 tries, a line break, and 5 tackle breaks. The kid has been a bright and shining light for the Titan.
Now, loving the rugby league at the moment. It's been outstanding. There's been plenty happening on the field. What's happening off the field?
Another thing, Payne Huss went down 11 minutes into the game, so that's a shame. for the Broncos and for everyone in rugby league. I hope he's okay. It could be a Liz Frank injury.
Tough news for the Broncos. Just been getting worse and worse, the news for the Bronx.
Yeah, I think that's their season done, to be honest. When you think of the Storm and they just keep getting better and better, they've just confirmed the signing of Stefano Utokamanu on a 3-year deal starting next season.
And he would have taken unders to go, I bet you. They would have thrown the kitchen sink at him at the Tigers and he's taken unders because he wants to play for premierships.
And he wants to develop as a player.
As a player, as a human down there as well, yeah, under Craig Bellamy. Some good news for the Storm and obviously for the Tigers. They'll be still looking for some more players and trying to get off that bottom of the ladder. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. New South Wales jersey flag last week's bye wasn't enough for the Silktowers to get the win. Being fresh, they ended up going down in a narrow one, 22-28 against the Manly Seagulls over the weekend. And in the Q Cup, similar news, the PNG Hunter also came off their bye only to lose to the Dolphins, 46-16. They'll be up against the Seagulls on home territory in Port Moresby next weekend. So that's exciting news for the PNG home fans.
And I believe that's all of rugby league, Sam.
That is,
and
mate.
Off to you in rugby union.
Yeah, let's go to rugby union. And to be honest, rugby union was very, very quiet this weekend on the field. But that will change in the next coming weeks. Yeah, but I want to give a big shout out to head coach of the Australian Deaf Rugby team, Dave Kearsey, and their team playing over in South Africa. They're playing a few test matches over there. Dave has done some amazing work within the deaf rugby community here in Australia, but also in Fiji. We toured within the last 2 years over to Fiji, where he's done some work with the greats of the game, Lote Tungiri, Radiki Samo, Nemani Nondolo, doing clinics with Rugby Australia and Pacific Oz Sport, and you know, shining a bright light on the deaf communities in the villages and trying to encourage more people to participate and show that there is an avenue for deaf rugby players to go and play and represent their country. And so I just want to wish him all the best over there, and they have a great saying for the Fijian team and for deaf rugby players, deaf can do. So absolutely love it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And well done to Dave to be involved in that.
We do have some signing news for the Drua. The Drua welcome back prop Penny Ravai from the Reds, the Queensland Reds. So he'll go back there, as well as Smoking Joe Tamani, who comes back to the Drua after having a year in France, as well as inside centre Inia Tambuavo. He will come back from powerhouse French club Racing 92. Ooh, so it's great news for the Drua. And yeah, I think it just shows what they have accomplished over the last few years. It's just, you know, really attractive for Fijian players playing overseas, yeah, that they can come back home and represent, you know, the Drua in front of their family, in front of their friends, and get immersed in their culture again, because it is tough to move away from home. They get sent over maybe a little bit earlier, but now having that opportunity to come back, it's amazing to see. Moana Pacifica have signed my cousin, the Tongan fly half, Patrick Pellegrini, on a 2-year deal.
Yeah,
we had Patrick on the show last week. We wanted to share it then and there, but
respective of other media outlets, yes, in the club.
In the club, he couldn't announce anything because Artie Savia's signing put all other signings on the back burner. And he is very excited to start his new journey. He was playing in Coventry in the championship in England, and now he's a bit closer to home. So
family ties, eh?
Yeah, there is,
and
mate.
Rugby union.
Rugby union and rugby league.
And rugby league.
And everywhere else. But look, a lot happening in rugby league, a little bit happened in rugby union, but that's going to kick up this week. Sweet, that's all the rugby union news. So let's head over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
And our favourite segment on the show, Sam, PNG Awkward and North Queensland Cowboys star in the NRLW, Shelley Long, welcome.
I'm already loving the introduction. You know what? Tina ever says that about me. That best segment.
Yes, I knew you'd love that part. Yeah.
But anyway, Shelley, let's rip into the NRLW. Obviously disappointed again not to be part of the team, but the Cowboys got up.
Oh, it's amazing. Obviously very disappointed for myself, but I'm extremely happy for the girls. Our first ever home game win, so that takes the pressure off us a little bit after last year's performances. It was a tough one, but you know, we look forward to having some more home games. For us in Townsville, it was a great turnout. We were a little bit nervous with that Sunday 6 o'clock game. You know, everyone's got work on a Monday, kids have school the next day, but they turned out for us, and we showed our support by getting the win, 38 points to 34 against the Dragons. So,
a high scoring affair on the weekend. What does Monday morning look like for you and the team as you guys prepare for round three?
For us, the girls that played, they'll do recovery and review. And for the non-players, we get lovely top-ups in the beautiful sunny weather here in Far North Queensland. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have a special name for the non-playing members? So say, for instance, for the when you're with the Wallabies, like their non-playing group might be called the Quokkas, or, you know, the bomb squad that comes off the bench, but sometimes they've got the bomb squad outside of the 23 for South Africa. Do you do something like that for the Cowboys just to help keep that morale high and understanding there is disappointment, but you can still have a lot of fun with it?
Yeah, we actually call ourselves the Hunters. So when you do the opposed sessions and things like that, our name are the Hunters, but it's also known as the Bibs. You know?
The Bibs. Yes. I know the Bibs well.
I think you're familiar with the pink bib, eh, Sam?
Yeah, the non-contact bib.
Yeah.
So I'd be on the not part of the squad, so I'd still wear my yellow bib, but find a way to put the pink bib on top as well, just to not do contacts. I was never getting back in the team. But that's cool that you have that, though. I think it's special that you still have that connection.
Yeah, camaraderie.
Camaraderie and understanding. Yes, it's disappointing, but you still play a vital role for your team.
Oh, 100%. And there was actually, when I was a part of the Dragons, Jamie Soward, at the time when I was there, he actually said, you know, part of the team and part of the most important part of the team is that 18 to 24, because at the end of the day, it's how they react and what they do to help bring that team together. So, you know, I enjoy it. I like still being a part of my team, and I know that whatever I do helps my teammates on the field. So, yeah.
For sure. And it's vital to understand that, as those who are listening, it's like I said last week, the 1-17 that starts at the start of the year won't be the same team that finishes the year. So having you guys motivated, positive, and encouraging each other, just ready to step in when your time comes up. But it was women in league round this week, so it was a special week for the women's game.
Yeah, it was incredible. For us, we actually hosted a dinner almost before the game. We had a couple of people on a panel discuss some incredible things that they've done in sport. And also we had a politician who talked about her trials and tribulations in the politics world. So the Cowboys did a great job at hosting that. And I think as well, it's a great round to recognise all the women, not just rugby league players, but all the women that play a massive role in helping the players be the best players that they can be. So, you know, that starts from the staff all the way through to the volunteers, to the people in the crowds. It's just incredible. And to get that recognition is amazing as well.
As a playing group, do you get the chance to reflect on all the milestones and the growth of the women's game in preparation, just to say, yes, we're trying to win some footy here, but let's just take a moment to have a think about what people have achieved and set the pathway for us to be here right now? Do you ever have those moments?
Oh, yeah, you definitely have those moments. But I think in the women's game, you have those moments quite regularly, especially when you see the growth of the game every year and every season or whatever it might be. So we get to have those moments quite regularly, but it's especially a prouder moment when you get to do it in Women in League Round.
Awesome work. Absolutely love that. Let's talk about some of the other games. What stood out for you?
Yeah, so over the weekend, some great performances in rugby league. To kick off the weekend, the Knights travelled to Canberra to verse the Raiders. The Raiders took on the challenge of defending their line back-to-back on multiple occasions. However, within the final minutes of the game, a penalty try was awarded to the Knights, so they ended up winning 26 points to 20. The Raiders, though, they looked incredible. I definitely think that they'll challenge a lot of teams in this season and ones to keep an eye out on.
Yeah,
and
Shelley, can I just stop there? I know it wasn't probably in the highlights, but there was a moment there where I don't know her name, the winger, she was on debut, she caught a a great catch from a kick, and she ran almost 80 metres. She stepped the fullback, and then Samaima Taifa was there to make the tackle. We talk about effort and those moments that really stood out, but like you could hear Gus Gould goes, "There goes your girl again." Like she's making those efforts. Like I just wanted to bring that up because I feel like it's those moments where you build a club on those effort. Small moments, yep. Those small wins. And you, when I seen that, I was like, wow, what a leader. I don't know if you've had much to do with her or Samaima, but just to see that, and obviously Newcastle got the win and they got the chocolates, but knowing those moments and those wins, it's I feel like Canberra are building something special.
Shelley called the Raiders at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I did actually, but I definitely think like at that club, they've built something special and I think you can see it across the board. And when you do have a leader like Samaima Taifa from leading from the pack and leading from the start of the pack, she's incredible, and I think she just shows that leadership and then shows it to the girls around her, and they then become leaders themselves in their own role. So she's incredible for the game, and, you know, she's still got it in her. She's been in this game for a while now. So yeah. To see her do those efforts and do those things and be at the top of the stats every week is incredible as well.
What other games stood out for yourself?
So the Eels versus Sharks on Sunday, great game to watch, very physical, very nail-biting, gritty. Oh, it was just incredible to watch. I actually watched it before I had to go into the stadium myself. But unfortunately for the Eels, they ended up losing to the Sharks. So 2 from 2 for the Sharks. Kasia Tohihiku was incredible for Parramatta. I think that she's such a great player in the women's game at the moment. She's very young, but her ball playing ability in that half is outstanding. Her defense is also incredible. She's a strong tackler, very dominant in her role, and doesn't let people walk over her, which I love.
And she's obviously outstanding. Where do you put that victory for the Sharkies? They're now 2 from 2. Are they in there? Will they be in the conversations later on in the year, do you think? Or do you think some of the teams that they've played against, maybe we still need to find out more when they come to, say, like the Knights and those type of teams?
Yeah, I'd love to see them against a team like the Knights or like the Raiders, but I definitely think they'll be up there within that top four. For the Eels, though, I think they'll also be up there in the top four. So I'm going to put Raiders, Cowboys, Eels, Sharks, my top four.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, nice. And any news this week in the women's game? Any signings?
No signings at the moment. A lot of the Olympic Sevens players will come back into their squad. So they'll be looking to play, I guess, by next week or the following week, just depending on how they've pulled up after the Olympic campaign.
Nice. And what about some standout players?
Another standout player for me would be Lozana Lotu. She was incredible for the Tigers. She's a young up-and-coming half, again, like Tohihiku, who is incredibly powerful and strong. I don't know if you guys saw, but some of her, like her extra efforts were incredible. Kezia Apps made a break, and she's come down the sideline, spinning her way through, stepped like 4 players to score a try. So her awareness on the field is incredible, but her defensive tech is incredible as well. I think she'll be on the highlight hits.
I did see that try. Yeah, it was outstanding. Wow. That's that Fijian flair coming out of such a young, talented player. And it's good to see that she's in the halves as well. Yeah. Normally we see the wingers or the fullbacks, you know, being in that
in a key position. But
now she's in a key position where she's got to be a game driver coming up this week. What's going to happen this week? What are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling like games will be tight again. I'm excited for the Queensland Derby, though, between the Broncos versus Titans. It will be a Broncos must-win game. They've lost both of their two started games, so they'll need to win this one. Titans are looking like top favourites in this game, so be interesting.
Yeah, shaky start for the Bronx. Yeah, 0 from 2. It was a scrappy game too, that against the Roosters, and then once the Roosters found their groove, they started to score some nice tries against the Bronx. So that'll be a good one up there. Fullback Politi,
she's done well.
Varney, she's been going well at the back. Just another great rugby product she is. Oh, That's outstanding. We look forward to that. And have you got any other news for us just before we leave?
Well, there was some news that recently came out in an article about the Cowboys NRLW team potentially moving to Cairns by 2026. So they would look to have their own facility based in Cairns, with the men's team being based in Townsville.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Is it exciting? Or you're on the ground there. Is it exciting news, or is there a bit of hesitancy there or anything like that with that type of information coming out?
It's, I guess, exciting news for Far North Queensland. You know, Cairns is part of Far North Queensland, and it's got a great great tourism place, great people. You know, I grew up outside of Cairns, so it'd be interesting in terms of kind of how it looks. That's nervous. We haven't had too much information yet in regards to it, but that's in the woodworks at the moment. But yeah, the article has been released, so that's now common knowledge.
Would that be home games at Townsville, or
Do you play? Yeah, do you play home games at Cairns? Is there a stadium there?
Or is this too early?
Is this too early?
They haven't given us a lot of information yet at the moment, but I think it would be Cairns.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, watch this space. We've got someone on the ground, close to the ground, actually. Shelley, when the news comes in, I'm sure you'll break it on here first.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, that was Shelley Long with the Long Story Short, PNG favourite, outstanding work. And now we're going to get to our next guest, Seth. This is going to be a beautiful one. We're going to head to Alan Alator.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Nesian Footy.
Nesian Footy fans, you're in for a treat. Our guest this week is big man Alan Alator, a proud Samoan who has played 70 times for Australia, was named captain for their recent test match against Georgia. He also captains the ACT Brumbies in the Super Rugby Pacific competition, and straight up one of the nicest blokes you'll ever come across. Big Alan, welcome to the show, bro. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome to be here, man.
Nah, you're the man, bro. Hey, 70 test matches, over 130-odd Super Rugby games. How's the body holding up?
Bro, Waxy, you would know, man. It's battling a bit. you know, it's getting harder to wake up every day, but it's going really well. You know, like getting through, which is good, and I still feel like I'm contributing in a good way, and you know, trying to play some good footy. So,
are you still up to your old tricks? You know, double massages and you know the pink bib. See you at captain's run. Right, you up to your old tricks, yeah.
Get the cold card.
Yeah, bro. You got,
that's the one.
Yeah, bro, you got to get on the physio table early in the week, so you can throw the pink bib on later. You know.
Oh, mate, absolutely love it.
They do say the front rowers, mate, you are overworked, underpaid.
Hey, that's very true.
You know, it's true about your position. But I spent a bit of time in 2015 with Scott and Sikope, and they talked about the challenges of playing in the front row and taking it personal when you come against like your other props. Is that something that you sort of incorporate into your game and into like your battles when you're playing for the Wallabies?
Yeah, bro, for sure, man. Especially in the set piece, it's like trying to do a max squat. You know, like every time you come into a scrum, and so you got to get yourself in a different mindset compared to the other boys on the field at the moment. But then at the same time, like, it's like a little ego thing as well around, like, if you got one up on a certain loose head, or you're like, you don't want to let them get any ascendancy on you either, you know. So yeah, like, you take those battles like personal for sure, man. And that's things that you learn. Like, I learned as a kid, you know, watching down at West Harbour and that, but then also like when you grow up and you're watching Keps and that go to work. Those are things you just learn on the run.
Yeah, it really annoys me, the fact that with the commentary, especially here in the Southern Hemisphere, the scrum, the props aren't respected the same way they are in France. Yeah. Like the bigger man, they want to speed it up. They want to take out the contest. It's a part of the game that's unique, and it lets our big boys do their job and do it well. So, man, he's one of the best props in the world. Yeah, and speaking of your old man, let's dive straight into that. He's represented Western Samoa back in the day. You know, seeing your old man play for West, you know, what was that like for you growing up as a kid and just seeing how big he was, like he is really? And did he share those like stories of his time playing for Samoa?
Yeah, man, like that was special. Like as kids, like, we used to always want to watch his games on the TV just with the videotape and like you never knew that it would have an effect on you until like now you're older and like you have your own kids and you just realize how special that was, you know. He was well known in the community, like in the rugby community, but also in the Samoan community and then you go back and you watch those games and you just realize why, you know, he was part of that 91 World Cup team who they say put Samoa on the map, you know. So it was special, man. And like, yeah, I think you look at where my brother and I are at the moment, I look back at that, and a large part of that was just through, like, not my old man saying that you have to play footy, but it was just growing up, you know, like idolizing your old man, you know, and like wanting to be who he was, like the man he represented on the field, but also how he was a father to us, and then the man he is in the Samoan community, you know. So
do you have any stories with your dad and your relationship where it felt like, is he being a father or is he being my coach right now? Like, do you have any funny stories where you felt like, oh, dad, man, it's not 91, we're in 2000.
We have sports science, dad, now.
We've got data, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man, he never used to do those ones, like where like if we'd play like a bad game, like, yeah, like you'd always see him. I was scared though that yeah. Like he always threatened me that he would go home and just make me walk home and stuff like that. But like it was like after schools and that, he used to take my brother down, you know, to the park, and we used to always do one-on-one stuff. And whether that was like fitness or like tackling, and he used to make us run blocks around just that Campsie area. And he used to always just say, "All right, hurry up! You have to go outside and do it. Like you have to go do 5 laps." And like you'd never, like for years, man, like I thought he'd always just sat in the kitchen or something. Like he just trusted us to do it. But I caught him this one time, like it was dark, and he was just in like the flats, just like standing there seeing if we're doing every rep, you know. So I think back to years and think, ah, like I shortcut like summers, but heaps, you know. Like there's times I've walked back in the door after two and that. Then I said, "Hey, Dad, have you been there every time we've done that?" He's like, "Yeah, bro, I've seen you." I'm like, oh no. But he just hasn't said anything, you know. So but I used to always try and chase my brother. Like my brother was like, yeah, he was a hard worker, man. Being the younger one, I'd always try and catch him and or try and be fitter than him, but yeah, he just never let me get him anywhere close to him, you know. So
yeah, for those that don't know, Mike Alatoa is the older brother of Alan, plays at the Crusaders, played for Samoa, and we are going to dive into that as well. But so what was that like, you know, you both of you chasing a dream and then finding out one's got to go or staying at the Tars, the other one's at the Brumbies, and you meet somewhere. Like, what was that like growing up with that competitiveness and knowing that's your brother?
Oh, man, like, that was special, especially for us. Like, we used to be at West Harbour all day. Like, we used to play junior footy in the morning and then go and watch the grade play at West Harbour. And then, like, every now and then, Dad would say, "All right, we're going to go watch the Waratahs play." And that used to be, like we used to be so happy, eh, when we used to just have rugby all day and then go watch the Tars play. So then for Mike to actually debut for the Tars, like, that was special, man. Like, especially like growing up in Sydney, and then for myself seeing that, like, you always thought, like, as a kid, it's just that goal was just so far, you know, like you wouldn't be able to achieve it. It's something that you always wanted, but so for me to see him debut in that Tars jersey, it was special for us, especially growing up in Sydney. And but then to debut in the same year, like, it's things worked out different here at Brahms. I signed a contract on a rookie deal, and all the props had fallen over, bro. So I was, the Lordy Fisher had come up to me and was like, "Yeah, mate, so we've got no one else left, so we're going to have to debut."
We've got no one.
I was like, "Oh, yo, sweet." Like, I debuted, bro. I got like 30 seconds, I think it was. And like, we beat the Chiefs, but still, man, like, all the family came up from Sydney, and it was still a special moment for the fam, you know.
Far out. That's awesome, man. And obviously reading about you and your brother being the first international captains last year, you talk about your rivalry and how much he pushed you. What was that feeling like, knowing that you're captaining the Wallabies and he's captaining Samoa?
Oh, man, like, again, like, that was probably something that I reflected on at the end of the year. I was like, just sat back and was like, wow, man, like, more so to think of what my parents would have been thinking. Like, it's like, one, to be representing Samoa, the other, to be representing Australia. Like, And for my parents, they only had two kids. I knew my dad, like my dad and that were, you know, had tears when they were calling us, you know, when they were with the fam back home in Sydney watching the games, because we were both in Europe at the time. But yeah, we knew that the whole family was immensely proud. Not only just getting to represent, you know, our countries, but, you know, to be able to lead our countries as well, which is, you know, something that, like, as Pacifica people, you know, we always probably struggle to step into that space, you know, in an area where we really wanted to grow, you know, like throughout our school and throughout our team. So, like, that was really special, man.
Yeah, what does make it different about yourself and your brother being leaders? And, you know, I guess some of our people can be a bit shy to speak out and put ourselves front and center to become leaders. What was different about your upbringing with the lessons you learned from mum and dad around leadership and around actually taking care of yourself and your path and looking after others?
Yeah, man, I think, like, the best thing for us, like, growing up in Australia was, like, we go to a Samoan church, like a Samoan Epakasa church in Sydney. And we're still there, you know, to this day. And this is the church where I met my wife. And, like, you're able to go to church every Sunday in Australia and still connect with your culture. We were part of the youth there where, you know, you do the whole, like, White Sunday and you do all performances for Christmas. And when you do that for years, like, you don't actually know the effect it's going to have on you growing up, you know. But when you think about it now, when I'm in Canberra and don't really have a Samoan community there, you look at other, like, Pacifica people who don't get to grow up in the culture, and you see how they're raised differently. Like, you just realize how special it is to be able to connect with your culture, you know, even the smallest way, especially growing up in Australia, you know, when you don't really have it every day. And I think having that balance, like, understanding when you go to the Samoan community and when you're in your own house, like we say, like, you got to respect that va, and the va is, like, the space between you and another individual, you know. But then understanding what that va looks like when you step into another Balangi environment, you know, where you guys are on the same level. And it's not, it's trying to work out that balance between, like, respecting that when you come home, I'm your son, you know, like, this, you want me to do the fails, you know, like, do the dishes, I'm doing it, you know.
Ipukis and
yeah, you got to do that because you're the son, you know, like, you go where you love love at church and you got to feed people, you know. And then, like, you go into the Wallaby environment and then, like, you're a leader, you know. So then you're, like, coming from down there to then up there, you know. And you, but you still have that, like, that humble upbringing, you know, understanding, like, what, like, just from your culture, you know. So to be experiencing that both, like, I knew for sure, like, that growing up in that Samoan church would have helped my brother massively when he stepped into the space in the Manu Samoa team, you know, because understanding, like, we learn a lot about our culture through going to church and being part of those, you know, that the youth group, because, bro, like, we don't get that here in Australia, man. And I feel sorry, man, for, you know, like, the Pacifica kids who don't have that experience here, you know. And, like, as you can see now, there's more and more coming through, like, the rugby system and the rugby league system, and we're all at the moment part of that generation that our parents have come and migrated over to create a brighter future for us, you know. And then you're thinking about, well, what about my kids' kids and then my kids' kids' kids, you know. So it's trying to always connect them with the culture is a massive value of mine, you know, and I never want to lose that within our family because it's just so important.
Yeah, well, man, you couldn't have said it any better. Like, you're talking about generations after generations and obviously leading your own kids and putting on different caps when you're with the Samoan culture and then the Australian culture or the ACT Brumbies culture. Maybe tell us about something that you've incorporated from the culture, from your upbringing into maybe ACT or what you're bringing into the Wallabies. Like, obviously you said that as a Samoan, we sort of respectful, we know our place, but now you're in this position of actually leadership. They're looking for you to sort of lead the troops. Where, what kind of cultural stuff are you sort of leading them with?
Yeah, man. I mean, like we had this course at Brums where a lot of the like the Pacifica boys ran a like a culture course with ET's name, which is Christian Lelifano's brother. And a lot of that was understanding the culture and understanding our upbringing and probably the reasons to why we are the way we are, but then understanding how we can bring our best self into a different community, you know. And we came up with different scenarios on speaking to a head coach or speaking to the CEO. And, you know, it's normally like you go in those meetings or in the meeting space and you just say, yep, you know, and you just don't really contribute too much or you don't want to question anyone in that authority. But it's having the courage to, one, understand, yeah, I guess the importance, man, of us speaking up. You know, like you look at the percentage now of Pacifica players, like it's almost close to 50. You know, and so we're encouraging more of the Pacifica boys to step up, not only to talk, like that's like base level, but then to lead, you know. And I learned, like, we were able to lead, like, you, when you look at guys like Christian Lelifano and seeing him action everything that he's talking about, like, you can have a coffee and he can tell you, like, well, we need you to step up. But to see him, like, in front of you for years, like, challenging the coaches or going into the CEO's office and having a discussion about certain things, challenging other boys in the team, getting up and presenting in meetings. And that, like, when you're seeing that constantly, you're like, oh, man, like, I can do that too, you know? And it, like, takes years, though. Like, it's, like, I still, like, it's not my strength to get up and talk, but it's an area where, like, I push myself, you know, to want to grow in that area, you know? So, yeah, I do a lot of work with a bloke outside of footy around the mental skills and around leadership. And yeah, we just talk about different scenarios and first of all, like what my values are as a person and then how I can contribute to the team's values, but always staying true to myself though, not trying to be someone that I'm not.
Man, absolutely love that. Well, like you're right when you said that before around that sometimes you don't know all the little skills you pick up along the way from your upbringing to now actually transfers into leadership qualities, you know, just presenting in front of the group, you know, just your detail around your scrum plan, and that leads into how can you then be a captain and address the team around, you know, the whole dynamics of the game plan. Like all of those little things actually building you up to, you know, just be a strong leader. And when you mentioned Christian Lelifano, he's one of the best. And I love that you've highlighted him. I was fortunate enough to play with him through schoolboys and right through. And what a just an amazing human. Like, I absolutely love that you got to learn from someone like him. You know, leading into, like, you know, your Wallaby campaign, I know you've had a few different coaches, but Dave Rennie, one thing I loved about him when he was a Wallabies coach is when, you know, he was getting the boys to sing Tongan songs, Samoan songs. You know, he sung the Australian national anthem in the Eora Aboriginal language. What was Dave's thought process behind implementing that into the Wallabies culture?
Like that was all based around connection, you know, with the team. And like he thought that song was a best, like one of the, you know, good ways to connect the team, you know. And like I remember the first time it was a bit awkward, like the first couple of times and boys learning the songs. But by the end, like boys know it off by heart. Like he didn't need the words. He had like Balangi boys like starting the different Islander songs, you know, like in the team room. And that's when I knew like we got to a good space. Like it was like a couple of years later, you know. But yeah, he had to get out of the comfort zone and also put boys out of their comfort zone, because like when we were singing Islander songs in the Wallaby environment, boys were like, bro, what, you know? but then, man, like by the end of 2022, like, bro, the boys were in a good space in terms of connection off the field. And everyone who rolled in, like I think it was special because we had COVID where we had everyone in at camp. Like you were forced to have like 40 or 50 people. So you had everyone learning those songs, you know. And it was just a way just to connect the group, but also connect all the different cultures that were in the group. So yeah, those like a Fijian bloke get up and intro his song and then teach the boys a song. So we'd learn that one week and the Tongans would get up. And then the Samoans would get up and then we would just try and learn all the songs. And then by the end, it just became like everyone just knew all the words. And yeah, like that was awesome, man.
And what about this one? You know, obviously your brother Mikey, he's won 3 premierships, I think it was, with the Crusaders before he left over to Leinster? Leinster, is that where he at? Is that where he's at now?
He was at Leinster and now he's just with Clermont.
Oh, he's gone to Clermont. You know, yeah. I know you're probably going to say, oh, I'm happy for him winning three Super Rugby titles, but competing for that same trophy, mate, does it burn you that he's got three championships?
Hurts. I think he's got more, man.
Oh, it's, he reminds it's more? Me of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Yeah. I think he'd be maybe five, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, so wow. It's, See, I lost count. Like, you're too many. If you get more than one, yeah. I'm off you.
He was with the Tars in 2014. So we lost the semifinal against the Tars. And then they went off to win it. So he won one there before he went to the Crusaders and won, like I think five in a row maybe before he left to Leinster. So, like, the best thing about that is, You got your brother, who's in world class club environments. So there's a huge part of me when I'm like, when I see the outcome, and I'm like, he's holding up the trophy. I'm like, oh, man, I'm dirty, bro.
Turn the TV off.
Yeah, I'm dirty, bro. But then there's another part of me where I was like, wow, what are they doing that we're not doing? And like, I reckon I'm in the perfect scenario where he's gone from a Kiwi environment to then an island environment to then a now French environment. And I've stayed every time he's moved, I've just stayed at Brums. And it's hard for me to get gauge on, like, you only know what you know. So, like, it's awesome that I'm able to just jump on the phone call and be like, bro, like, what would you guys do? Like you went over to South Africa and you beat in Johannesburg and beat the Lions in a final, you know, to win a Super Rugby game. Like, that's massive. You know, like, what are they doing all year? Like, what's your culture like? And I think I'm in a great situation where I can ask him because he's been a part of those world class club teams. You know.
Hey, one final question for me: yourself as a captain, inspirational leader. Your brother's been a captain by Samoa as well at the World Cup. We've just seen Artie Savea, you know, cross over to Moana Pacifica, and he's most likely going to be their captain. All three Samoans yourself, like, when you see the announcement of someone as big as he is at the peak of his game in prime, what does that do for you as a proud Samoan, seeing a person like him do that?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And when I first saw it, I was like, bro, what? Like, this is massive. Like, I think he's just opened up opportunity, you know, for others that at the peak of their game to be like, yeah, bro, let's go, you know. And like, and knowing Christian, being close with Keps, you go to that Moana team, you're constantly connecting with your culture. Not only your culture, but all the Pacifica cultures, you know. And you're just being around that team, I was speaking about the VAR that was speaking about before, like, you're constantly in that. So when you don't get that at home, like, it's special to be able to get that at your workplace. You know, and like, imagine if RA were like, all right, you can go play for Moana and still qualify to play for the Wallabies. That would be a different game changer. You know, like, it's, oh, bro, I'm telling you, man. Like, I reckon you'll see a lot of boys, man, they'll want to go over and like, be a part of that team, because, like, even last year, like, they grew from the year before. Like Tana's there doing some good stuff, man. So I think he's just opened up an opportunity for other players to want to go in. But I think the best part about it is, like, being part of that team who are always connecting you to your culture. And that's special growing up in Australia or New Zealand, where you don't get that every day. But, like, a credit to him. And, I'm really looking forward to seeing how they go.
Yeah, I think it's a huge move. And I think it's something, it's a good point that you bring up, that the way rugby is here in Australia, obviously it's fallen behind, well behind, like rugby league and AFL. Being able to change the landscape just a little bit, be flexible with the rules, because I think if you get a big player playing for Moana Pacifica and learning something different, you get a better Wallaby player when they come back. So I think at the end of the day, if you can see that it helps the individual to help the team, it's something that has to be looked at. But honestly, Alan, from the bottom of my heart, I've actually loved seeing you grow into the man you are, especially the way you lead both on and off the field. I've known you for a long time. I was so scared of your dad too when I shook his hand and when he was our coach at West Harbour. Massive. But just to see you and your brother to where you are today and continue leading the way you are, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. And thank you so much for coming on our show and inspiring our listeners. And we wish you all the best through your rugby journey and beyond.
Thanks, Usman. That means a lot, bro.
Nisian knowledge.
Yes, my favourite part, along with Shelley Long's segment, is Nisian knowledge. We are going to go into this as scores look 11.5 to 9.5 to T.
Come on, T.
So the loser of this does get a Nisian footy tattoo on their bum. Here we go, Seth. For those who are new, we're just going to ask three questions. Just got to get them right. Keep a tally, and we'll go from there. So Josh Papali'i, obviously 300 games. Yeah.
Yeah,
for the Raiders. We established that. Yeah, we acknowledge that.
At the start of the show.
And his wife acknowledged the fact it's been 344 in total.
Yes.
Which is good.
That's nice.
That's it. He's played for who?
Origin.
Origin, Samoa.
Samoa and Australia.
And Prime Ministers.
13.
Okay. So how many of, out of those 344 games, how many of those were for the mighty Maroons in the Queensland Origin? I'm not giving you anything because you're good with numbers. So...
Okay, Samoa, he would have played, what, four games? And then the last World Cup, they played all the way to the final. So that would have been about 10 games for Samoa. Why are you smiling?
I like it. I love just watching you, you know, process the numbers, whereas me, I just throw a number out there.
What did he play, 8, 9, 10 Origin series? Probably would have played about 24, plus the Prime Ministers. So how many, what team did you ask for?
For the Maroons. The just Maroons. Yeah, it's just there.
Oh, okay. Let's go far out. 31. No, no, wait.
Yeah, go to the next one. I feel like you've got it.
No.
Telepathy. Is that the right word? Can't spell it, but anyway, I feel like
you've got it. 27 or 8.
Ooh.
27.
Man, I thought you were close there with 24. He played 23.
Oh.
Man, he played 23. Like I thought you had it when you got 24.
Whoa, two Prime Minister, changed, yeah.
Two Prime Minister 15, Prime Minister 13s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he played 23. There we go. So, no points
I
there.
I feel like it's 24.
Oh, I'm just going off what's on. No. Okay, here's one. You should get this one. Josh Papali'i, this is a bit of a theme here. Josh Papali'i made his debut for Canberra in 2011 against which...
Melbourne Storm.
Team. Yes, there we go.
Only because I heard all of the tributes.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I knew it. So there's 1 point to you, Seth.
Mercy.
And here's one. I don't know, what's your knowledge around Queensland Reds, Evania Wong? You should do this because you're right? Much knowledge there? No.
Queensland Reds,
yeah,
did you
Queensland
say?
Reds, yep. But anyway, Evania Wong, PNG speedster for the Queensland Reds in the Women's Super W team, becomes the most... capped women's red player of all time. How many caps does she have? And I'll give you a multiple choice. Is it A, 28? Is it B, 38? Or is it B, 48?
What? You said B twice.
Did I? I thought I said A. No, A, 28, yeah. B, 38, C, 48. Sorry, bro, I did say BB.
If I go B, I get two options.
So that were the options. You want to hear it again?
Let's go A.
A, 28. That's incorrect. It was 38.
So I said B.
But yeah, if you didn't correct me, you would have got that. But
should
every
I book
week
the appointment for the tattoo.
Yeah, you're coming with us because you're part of this process. But that's our time up for Nisian Footy on Mondays. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with athletes like Josh Papali'i, Shalom Sawoso, and plenty more wherever you get your podcast.
You.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.